Listener, we're all trying to get healthier, buying supplements, following the latest workout trends. But what if the newest tip from your favorite health influencer isn't exactly what your body needs? True Diagnostic helps you find out the exact supplements and lifestyle changes that can make a difference, and which ones might just be wasting your money. I just took the test myself. The kit arrived at my door. I did a quick, simple finger prick at home, then dropped it in the prepaid return package. That's it. Now I'm waiting on my results. Should have them in a few weeks. I'm genuinely curious to see what my biological age looks like versus my actual age, and what specific changes I should make. True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over a million biomarkers. Their True Age test measures how fast you're actually aging across 11 organ systems. True Health tests over 100 biomarkers like vitamins, inflammation, and metabolism, or get the combo for both. Either way, you get a clear 90-day plan. Your only job? Follow the three most important actions you can take for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. This is trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code Obscura20 at checkout. That's truediagnostics.com and use code Obscura20 for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. Luxury bedding is one of those things you don't fully appreciate until you sleep on it. That was my experience with Quince. The softness, the weight, the quality of the materials. It's the kind of difference you feel immediately and then notice more with every night. I thought my old sheets were fine until I tried Quince. The difference is unreal. They're so soft and cozy that my morning alarm has become more of a suggestion than a rule. Quince has European linen. They get softer with every wash. Organic cotton sheets that feel luxurious. Breathable bamboo that stays cool all night. Plus, premium quilts, comforters, and duvet inserts. Everything you need to build a bed that actually feels finished. The best part? Their bedding is half the cost of similar brands. By partnering with top artisans and cutting out the middleman, Quince passes the savings on to you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices with premium fabrics and finishes. You're already sleeping in your bed every single night, listener. Why not make it nicer? Turn up the luxury when you turn in with Quince. Go to quince.com/obscura for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/obscura. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/obscura.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Pennsylvania, February 29th, 2008, 522 days until disaster. The following video was uploaded to George Alfred Sodini's YouTube channel. It is titled, How George Pittsburgh Lives.
This is my house from the street. Here is my car. This is a two-bedroom brick ranch, conveniently located. My car is an 07 Altima. I paid $79,000 for this in 1996. That's considered a lot.
In incel videos, I've noticed that the incels in question always prioritize status symbols. In this sterile tour of a brown brick home, notice how George describes it. He states that the property is conveniently located and that he spent a lot of money on the home when he purchased it. When he pointed out his vehicle in the drive, he made sure to point out the year of the car. Lest we assume that he drove an older model.
Believe it or not, hey, we're approaching the door. open it up. Oh, someone left it unlocked. That's not good. Inside, okay. My big screen TV, 32 inch. It's my computer. Let me pan out a little bit. Computer is connected to the stereo, which I listen to my MP3s and everything else. Pan to the other side. Speakers on each side are large. They double as end tables. Okay, couch and chair, they match.
George Sodini continues his house tour inside. The interior is as empty and featureless as its owner. There's a single, far too small framed painting above his couch. Other than this one piece of art, his walls are totally blank, giving the home a vibe of not lived in. The layout is poorly organized. The computer is at the front entrance, directly facing the front door. The carpet is red, and the couch has a blue and red flannel design. In my experience, most of my friends learn to decorate from the women in their lives. These women helped to progress them past the college dorm room school of interior decorating. Much to George's disappointment, this is a lesson he has never learned.
The woman will really be impressed. Okay, come over here. There's some reading material that we're all familiar with.
George shows off some reading material on the coffee table. One of the books is titled, Date Young Women, for Men Over 45. This book was written by Don Steele, a dating guru. Had this incident taken place years in the future, George would have likely followed many of the plethora of dating gurus online that take advantage of young men. George is a sort of proto-Elliot Rodger. He posted these videos during the early days of YouTube, before the website truly exploded in popularity in the 2010s.
Come out here through the dining room. I just bought this. Dining room set. Rug, okay. Little hallway, two bedrooms.
George's description of his own home continues into the realm of the uncanny. His descriptions of his dwelling are totally without character. He continues to describe his home in terms of what he's purchased for it, giving us early insight into why he repelled women.
Two bedrooms. To the right is my bedroom. Extra computer here, they're networked. I'll show you the Cat5 connections downstairs. Okay, looks pretty clean. I'm sure she'll be impressed. Now this back bedroom I use just for storage. There's a lot of junk here. And as we could see, bottles of cologne and spare change and shoebox full of old pictures and photographs and stuff. And come over here and there's CDs and all kinds of electronic gear I bought since joining the list, tapes and so on.
Every item in his home could be purchased from an office supply store. Black metal racks full of blank CDs and tapes, stacks of printer paper, pen refills, sticky notes, a computer in both the front entrance of his home and his bedroom. This is the living space of someone that never self-actualized, never developed his personality beyond pure function. I imagine most of his cologne can be acquired through a drugstore. The music, your usual dad rock, the Eagles, Journey.
Pan out a little bit. Take a quick walk through back here, through the living room, the hallway. Here's the kitchen. Stove and counter and everything I need. Just cleaned it up. All the cupboard space I need. Okay. I like here, you just come out here, there's a room with a view. My backyard and everything.
The kitchen is as featureless as the rest of the home. A cutting board rests on the counter in a way that looks staged for the video. There's no oven mitts, no cloth hanging over the stove handle, not even a clock on the wall, or a sponge next to the sink. And what a waste his large backyard is.
Okay, let's go down the cellar. I fixed it up. It was unfinished when I bought the house. I put up all the paneling and the suspended ceiling. The shelves, I put all this up. It took a while to do it. It was worth it. And furnace, and I have all my tools and everything in here. That's only so interesting. Filing cabinet, more junk. More stuff. Just all kind of things. Storage for winter. Boxes of things. I used to have like 8 or 10 boxes there. I've thrown out and I've only had like 4 or 5. A lot of those are needed. Here's the Cat5 patch panel. And that networks my computers. The router comes in here, the phone lines. Everything works. Punching bag. Just everything I need. Well, that about sums it up.
The following is from a Usenet post George made back in 1995. It is the earliest internet presence I was able to find online from George. Thread title, Civil War Upheaval equals Bond Market Collapse. Quote, I am convinced that more drastic action is required to bring the country back to the constitutional order that it was 200 years ago. I don't think any group of political leaders will achieve this for us. One problem I fear is that any kind of civil war or large disorder caused by militia action can cause the investors holding the $4.8 trillion debt to panic. If the dollar becomes worthless, we would have another big problem, military intervention, to quote, settle things. In a time of serious crisis, many people would probably welcome this, which would end up the U.S. would be some type of socialist or communist police state. Any comments? The following video was posted by George Sodini. It is titled, Hide from Emotion. The video was posted on June 23rd, 2008.
It is easy for me to hide from my emotions for one more day. Take a long drive in the car, listen to some music, daydream, or just do some mundane task around the house that really doesn't need to be done, that's not too important. And there you go, one more day. And one more day turns into one more year. Now, RDS says that I have approximately maybe 15 more years to be successful at this. And when I heard that, I wanted to continue immediately to start moving on this. I didn't realize I had that much time. So my objective is to be real and to learn to be emotional and to be able to emotionally connect with people. Because when I'm 10 to 20 years older than she is, she has to feel good about this thing. And the only way to around that, is to work on this and perhaps STEM exercises or forgiveness exercises as per Hay or whatever else. I'm going to post this and see what comes back.
George Sodini hosted a website. The website operated as a place for diary entries. The following will be quoted directly from the website. These quotes do not represent the views of your narrator, listener. Date of diary, 8/4/2009. Why do this to young girls? Just read below. I kept a running log that includes my thoughts and actions. After I saw this project was going to drag on. November 5th, 2008. Planned to do this in the summer, but figured to stick around to see the election outcome. This particular one got so much attention, and I was just curious. Not like I give a flying fuck who won, since the exit plan was already planned. Good luck to Obama. He will be successful. The liberal media loves him. America has chosen the black man. Good. In light of this, I got ideas outside of Obama's plan for the economy and such. Here it is. Every black man should get a young white girl hoe to hone up on. Kinda a reverse indentured servitude thing. Long ago, many an older white male landowner had a young black wench for his desires. About time tables were turned on that shit. Besides, dem young white hoes dig de brothers, lol. More so than they dig the white dudes. Every daddy knows when he sends his little girl to college, she be banging a brother real good. I saw it. Quote, not my little girl, daddy says. Yeah, right. Black dudes have their choice of best white hoes. You do the math. There are enough young white girls, so all the brothers can have one for 3 or 6 months or so. December 24th, 2008. Moving into Christmas again. No girlfriend since 1984. Last Christmas with Pam was in 1983. Who knows why? I am not ugly or too weird. No sex since July 1990 either. I was 29. No shit. Over 18 years ago. And did it maybe only 50 to 75 times in my life. Getting to think that a woman now would just, get in the way of things. Isolated. I have extra money and enjoy traveling too. I have 25 to 30 days of vacation a year. LA was the best, but going alone is not fun. Invited to a party on Christmas Day tomorrow. Seems about 15 to 25 people will actually show. I like her parties. I can meet new people and talk. Got the next 8 days off. I should have exit plan done and practice by then. I know nothing will change, no matter how hard I try or what goals I set. December 28, 2008. Glad I stayed around. All these days off are great. I will shoot for Tuesday, January 6th, 2009, at maybe 8:15. I have a list of to-do items to make. December 29th, 2008. Just got back from tanning. Been doing this for a while. No gym today. My elbow is sore again. I actually look good. I dress good. Am clean-shaven. Bathe. Touch of cologne. Yet 30 million women reject me. Over an 18 or 25 year period. That is how I see it. 30 million in my rough guesstimate of how many desirable single women there are. A man needs a woman for confidence. He gets a boost on the job, career, with other men. Let me tell you about Chime. They're changing the way people bank. And honestly, my younger self would have benefited from this. Chime isn't just another banking app, listener. They've built smarter, fee-free banking for everyday people. Not the 1%. Forget overdraft fees. Forget monthly fees. Forget minimum balance fees. With Chime, that's all gone. Here's what makes them different. With MyPay, you can access up to $500 of your paycheck anytime and get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. They've also got this new Chime card, which lets you build credit history with your own money while earning cash back on everyday spending. No annual fees, no interest, no strings attached. Plus, you can earn up to 3% APY on savings. That's 8 times higher than traditional banks. If you ever need help, they've got 5-star rated customer service with real humans available 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. And it just takes a few minutes to sign up. Head to chime.com/obscura. That is chime.com/obscura.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services, a secured Chime Visa credit card, and MyPay line of credit provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. MyPay eligibility requirements apply, and credit limit ranges $20 to $500. Optional services and products may have fees or charges. See chime.com/fees info. Advertised annual percentage yield with Chime Plus status only. Otherwise, 1.00% APY applies. No min balance required. Chime card on-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Results may vary. See chime.com for details and applicable terms.
Listener, after spending hours researching the darkest corners of true crime, sometimes you need something to help you decompress. That's where Mood comes in. Mood.com is an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC products right to your door. We're talking gummies, flower, pre-rolls, edibles. They've got products designed for specific vibes. Need to wind down after a heavy episode? They've got sleepy time gummies. Want something for focus during those long research sessions? They've got that too. They even have options for feeling euphoric or, let's say, enhancing other activities. Personally, I'm a fan of their Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. They kick in fast and actually help quiet my brain after a long day of diving into cases. Everything ships discreetly. It's all backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And best of all, Obscura listeners get 20% off their first order. Head to mood.com and use code Obscura at checkout for 20% off. That's mood.com with code Obscura. And everywhere else, when he knows inside, he has someone to spend the night with and who is also a friend. This type of life I see is a closed world, and I'm totally excluded. Every other guy does this successfully to a degree, flying solo for many years as a destroyer. Yet many people say, I am easy to get along with. Looking back, I owe nothing to desirable females who ask for anything except for basic courtesy. usually. Looking back over everything, what bothers me most is the inability to work towards whatever change I choose. December 30th, 2008. While driving, I radio surfed to a talk show. The caller was a 30-ish black man who was describing the despair in certain black communities. According to him, life is cheap there because you are going to die anyway when you get old. It is the quality of life that is important, he said. If you know the past 40 years were crappy, why live another 30 crappy years, then die? His point was, they engage in dangerous behavior, which tends to shorten the lifespans. To die now and avoid the next 30 crappy years? The host got sarcastic and ended the call instead of trying to understand his point. I put music back on, but it was an interesting and useful point for me to hear. December 31st, 2008. My anger and rage is largely gone since I began lifting weights. Lifting drains me, but I still have energy. Somebody else suggested running, but that did not help me. I guess strenuous exercise is necessary for a man. I just learned that now at 48. Maybe 30 years later than I would have liked. My dad never, not once, talked to me or asked about my life's details and tell me what he knew. He was just a useless sperm donor. Don't know why. Find it fun talking to young kids when I visit someone. Brother was actually counterproductive and would try to embarrass me or discourage my efforts when pursuing things. The result is I am learning basics by trial and error in my 40s, followed by discouragement. Seems odd, but that's true. Writing all this is helping me justify my plan and to see the futility of continuing. Too embarrassed to tell anyone this. At almost 50, one is expected to just know these things. I hope it doesn't snow on Tuesday. Just thought of that. The crowd will be thin, so I would postpone. Shit. Now that I am on the topic of family and people I know, I might as well make a summary of sorts to show where things stand. This is New Year's Eve. I have time. No date tonight, of course. So, honorable mention, Pedalasti Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Holy shit. Religion is a waste. Pastor Rich Knapp teaches and convinced me you can commit mass murder, then go to heaven. Ask him, call him. In any case, guilt and fear kept me there 13 long years until November 2006. I think his crap did the most damage. My mom, the central boss, don't piss her off, or she will be mad and vindictive for years. She actually thinks she's normal, very dominant. Her way and only her way, with no flexibility towards everyone in the household. A power and control thing. People outside the immediate family like her. Why are people vicious with their closest ones? She is the boss above all other bosses. Michael Sodini, a boss, my brother. Always the big bully, twice the size of most others. When he bullied or harassed someone, it was the other person who, quote, deserved it. It was always about him. Way too self-absorbed, too. Still is. Used to like to embarrass guys in front of their girlfriends. Lots of other shit. Kind of guy you actually love to hate. The biggest, most self-centered jagoff I know. He took those bullying skills into the business world and is doing good financially. He is a big wheel, only in his mind. Most people can see through all his manipulation. He calls only when he wants something. Sherry, my sister. More of a victim than anything, copes by exercising much control over her adult children. We used to be close until her control of L&D caused conflict. Never the same after. David, nephew, Sis's son, good young guy though. Lisa, niece, sister's daughter. Attractive, smart, emotional, all good young woman qualities. Andy Pulowski, I have been in bathrooms and church groups. The worst people by far are the religious types, especially a right-wing, stiff-faced fundy like Andy. A condescending, demeaning, passive-aggressive person. Frigid, rigid, linear, and totally inflexible. Being a very serious person, he cannot hide his frown-lined face. He better not try to smile, lest his face might crack. I knew children of parents who grew up in strict religious homes. Religion has a certain stink to it of guilt, shame, fear, and that moral standard that always contradicts the natural tendencies and desires of a young person. Therein lies the conflict. young person cannot experiment with things to decide on their own and establish their own parameters, so they tend to cut loose and really rebel much more than the average young person. Ma and Pa never know what goes on. They easily BS their parents because they want to believe their little one is an angel. Andy has a young daughter away at college, High Point University. I saw her picture on his desk. She's your very basic, attractive young girl. That's only one thing she can do, because those girls were great when I recall my college years. She is someone's little hoe now, I am sure. Another point about Andy, how could someone be cold, vicious, sarcastic, and generally nasty all the time, and then make the claim about their church life and how good they are? Total hypocritical idiots. That's it for now. That felt good. January 5th, 2009. Was at the gym to lift. Very crowded. Tomorrow should be good. There is a woman there that gives me a certain look every time I am there. I decided to walk over and make a comment about the crowds, but she left when I finished the exercise. Better that I do not get sidetracked from tomorrow's plan anyway. Life is just playing games. One or two dates with her, then the end. No matter how many changes I try to make, things stay the same. Every evening I am alone. Then I go to bed alone. Young women were brutal when I was younger. Now they aren't as much, probably because they just see me as just another old man. I see 20-something couples everywhere. I see a 20-something guy with a nice 20-ish young woman. I think those years slipped right by me. Why should I continue another 20-plus years alone? I will just work, come home, eat, maybe do something, then go to bed, alone, for the next day of the same thing. This is the Auschwitz syndrome. To be in serious pain so long, one thinks it is normal. I cannot wait for tomorrow. January 6, 2009. I can do this. Leaving work today, I felt like a zombie. Just going through the motions. Get on a bus, get the car, drive home. My mind is screwed up anymore. I cannot concentrate at work or think at all. The log is not detailed. It is only for confidence to do this. The future holds even less than what I have today. It is 6:40 p.m., about an hour and a half to go. God have mercy. I wish life could be better for all, and the crazy world can somehow run smoother. I wish I had answers. Bye. Update. It is 8:45 p.m. I chickened out. Shit. I brought the loaded guns, everything. Hell. April 24th, 2009. Early last month, we had our second general layoff. I survived. First one was in November. When I began 10 years ago, that used to be a nice place to work. I understand the need to reduce staff when times sour, but this is out of proportion to the economic problems at this time. I predict I won't survive the next layoff. That is when there is no point to continue. Right now, life is bearable, and I can get by indefinitely. Something bad must happen. The paycheck is all I have left. The future holds nothing for me. 25 years of nothing fun. I never even spent one weekend with a girl in my life, even at my own place. Also, unlikely to find another similar job. I guess then is when I can take care of things. I don't have kids, close friends, or anything. Just me here. If you have nothing, you have nothing to lose. I enjoy writing these entries. I've no plans to go back and edit or even read most of the stuff already written. May 4th, 2009. I was so eager to do this last year. The big problem on my mind now is that my job will end soon. One project is being transitioned to another. The other one I am solely responsible, but is being fast-tracked to production. I estimate maybe a month. I am not ready for the job market. I am okay at what I do. A net software developer. Not at the top of my class, but I do a good job. The problem is, I feel too good now to do this, but too bad to enjoy life. I know I will never enjoy life. This is an over 30-year trend. Some people are happy, some are miserable. It is difficult to live almost consciously, feeling an undercurrent of fear, worry, discontentment, and helplessness. I can talk and joke around and sound happy, but under it all is something different that seems unchangeable and a permanent part of my being. I need to realize the detail of what I never accomplished in life, and to be convinced the future is merely a continuation of the past, which it always has been. I am making a list of items that will provide motivation to do the exit plan. It won't be published. I always had hope that maybe things will improve, especially if I make big attempts to change my life. I made many big changes in the past 2 years, but everything is still the same. Life is over. Even though I look good, dress well, well-groomed, nail, teeth, hairs, etc. Who knows? What is it like to be dead? I always think I am forgetting something. That's one reason I postponed. Similar to when you leave to get in your car to go somewhere, you hesitate with a thought. What am I forgetting? In this case, I cannot make a return trip. I like to write and talk. Ironic, because I haven't met anybody recently, past 30 years, who I want to be close friends with, or who wants to be close friends with me. I was always open to suggestions to what I am doing wrong. No brother or father, mine are useless, or close friend to nudge me and give it to me blunt or tactful. What the fuck am I doing wrong? A personal coach or someone who knows what he is doing would be perfect. Money is highly secondary for a solution. May 5th, 2009. To pull the exit plan off, it popped into my mind to just use some booze. I want to do this before I get laid off. After the gym, I stopped at Shop and Save and got a fifth of vodka and a small bottle of Jack Daniels. I haven't had a drink since September 1st, 1988, just over 20 years. It doesn't matter now. I need to use it to take the edge off. I will be taking some every now and then to get used to it and see if the alcohol effects will embolden me. Weed would be fun to try again. I don't know who has any. Life is over. Who cares? I just need to use common sense. Can't drink and drive, etc. This idea just hit me at a point in time, and I immediately acted on it. The list idea yesterday is working. I carry it in my wallet and add to it. I am feeling too good to carry this out, but too bad to enjoy anything. My life's a dilemma. May 6, 2009. I started the Jack Daniels, about 1 ounce with some tea to get me started. No big deal. May 7th, 2009. Went to the gym and did mostly cardio. My heart rate was 117, just from walking on the treadmill at 3.4 miles per hour. This should be done a few times a week, for maybe 15 minutes or so to keep the heart active. I sprinted a few times to push the limits. May 18th, 2009. I actually had a date today. It was with a woman I met on the bus in March. Women just don't like me. There are 30 million desirable women in the US, my estimate, and I cannot find one. Not one of them finds me attractive. I'm looking at the list I made for May 4th. I forgot about that for several days. That tells me where I stand. These problems have gotten worse over a 30-year period. I need to expect nothing from me or other people. All through the years, I thought we had the ability to change ourselves. I guess that is incorrect. Looking at the list makes me realize how totally alone I am from all else. I no longer have any expectations of myself. I have no options because I cannot work towards and achieve even the smallest goals. February brings a lot of pressure around relationships. Everywhere you look, flowers, candy, couples holding hands. If your love life doesn't look like a greeting card, it's easy to feel like you're falling behind. And here's the truth. Most of us are still figuring it out, listener. Whether you're in a relationship, dating, or flying solo, you're right on time. There's no perfect timeline for matters of the heart. Therapy can help you see more clearly what you actually want, what's weighing you down, and how to take some of the pressure off yourself. BetterHelp connects you with fully licensed therapists and their matching system. Built on over 12 years of experience, it helps pair you with someone who fits your needs. If it's not the right fit, you could switch anytime. With over 30,000 therapists and a 4.9 out of 5 rating from more than 1.7 million client reviews, they've helped over 6 million people find their way. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That is BetterHelp.com. Listener, if you're looking for your next heart-pounding thriller, let me tell you about Run on Red by Noelle W. Eiley. This book talk viral suspense hit is returning in a deluxe special edition with stunning stenciled edges. And it is as beautiful as it is intense. When my wife read this book, she genuinely could not put it down. Every chapter tightened the tension. Every page made her more nervous for what was coming next. It follows two women stranded on a remote country road with no cell signal, trapped in a terrifying game of survival. What begins as fear turns into resilience as they fight back against those hunting them. If you love the twists of Freda McFadden, the grit of Karen Slaughter, and the psychological edge of John Mars, this book belongs on your shelf. The deluxe edition of Run on Red is available February 24th. Do not miss it. That is above all what bothers me the most, not to be able to work towards what I want in my life. I believe I deserve that. I read recently, it is called self-efficiency, but who knows? Is that more psychobabble? May 25th, 2009. I was invited to a picnic, and I went. An older woman there, out of the blue, asked if I liked high school, then quickly asked if I was picked on very much. Interesting why she would ask that, but thanks. I already know what the problem is, but a solution eludes me. June 5th, 2009. I was reading several posts on a different forum, and it seems many teenage girls have sex frequently. One 16-year-old does it usually 3 times a day with her boyfriend. So after a month of that, this little hoe has had more sex than me in my life, and I am 48. One more reason. Thanks for nada, bitches. Bye. July 20th, 2009. Been a long time since last write. Everything still sucks, but I got a promotion and a raise, even in this shitty Obama economy. No more grunt programming. Go figure. New boss is great. He tactfully says when you did something wrong or compliments on good things. Never confused with him. But that is not what I want in life. I guess some of us were simply meant to walk a lonely path. I have slept alone for over 20 years. Last time I slept all night with a girlfriend, it was 1982. Proof I am a total malfunction. Girls and women don't even give me a second look. Anywhere. There is something blatantly wrong with me that no goddamn person will tell me what it is. Every person just wants to be fucking nice and say nice things to me. Flattery. Oh yeah, I am sure you can get a date anytime. You look good, etc. Pussies. I can just start being self-righteous and say I live a good, clean life. I am holy. That's all Pastor Rick Knapp stuff. Hear that, you motherfucker? I am just good. July 23rd, 2009. Wow. I just looked out my front window and saw a beautiful college-age girl leave Bob Fox's house across the street. I guess he got a good lay today. College girls are hoes. I masturbate frequently. He is about 45 years old. She was long-haired, hot little hottie with a beautiful bod. I masturbate frequently. Some were simply meant to walk a lonely path in life. I don't usually look out, but just happened to notice. Holy fuck, I have masturbated since age 13. I wish I could go back to 1975 and fix things. Aw, that won't work. Big bully brother would assert his bullshit. He was twice my size. He never messed with guys bigger than 5'10 or so. He is a pussy at heart. Remember, Michael is my brother, and he is still a boss. Repetition only for emphasis. He is only a bully, even at 50-ish. Never forget that, because he exudes confidence. People believe bullshit if it's delivered with confidence. Get it? On the same thought, things occurred to me today. Michael never had an attractive girlfriend. Debbie, Barb, Kim. Then I lost track. He married a Chinese descent petite woman with no body, no ass, no chest, no personality. She never laughs or smiles. Neither does he. But she is highly intelligent and an excellent cook. I can testify to that. She home bakes her own delicious wheat bread. But who cares about that type of small bullcrap? Mike even mentioned when we were visiting Dad that, quote, she's not very attractive. August 2nd, 2009. The biggest problem of all is not having relationships or friends, but not being able to achieve and acquire what I desire. In those are many other areas. Everything stays the same regardless of the effort I put in. If I had control over my life, then I would be happier. But for about the past 30 years, I have not. Do you know what that feels like? To run in place and the scenery doesn't change? The same thing every day. The lines blur and you start to forget what's real and what's not. August 3rd, 2009. I took off today, Monday and tomorrow, to practice my routine. and make sure it is well polished. I need to work out every detail. There is only one shot. Also, I need to be completely immersed into something before I can be successful. I haven't had a drink since Friday, at about 2:30. Total effort needed. Was at about a bottle a day, and tomorrow is the big day. Unfortunately, I talked to my neighbor today, who's very positive and upbeat. I need to remain focused and absorbed completely. I need to hate. Last time I tried this in January, I chickened out. Let's see how this new approach works. Maybe soon I will see God and Jesus. At least that is what I was told. Eternal life does not depend on works. If it did, we would all be in hell. Christ paid for every sin. So how can I or you be judged by God for sin when the penalty was already paid? People judge, but that does not matter. I was reading the Bible and the integrity of God beginning yesterday. Because soon I will see them, I will try not to add any more entries because this computer clicking distracts me. And besides, I can't tell what is real anymore. Also, any of the practice papers left on my coffee table I used or the notes in my gym bag can be published freely. I will not be embarrassed because, well, I will be dead. Some people like to study that stuff. Maybe all this will shed insight on why some people just cannot make things happen in their life, which can potentially benefit others. Signing off, George Sedini. Listener, on the morning of August 4th, 2009, George Alfred Sedini woke up in his modest townhouse. He had taken the day off from his job as a systems analyst at the law firm K&L Gates. He announced his plan in an online journal the night before, writing that he would spend the day practicing his routine, making sure it was well polished. He needed to work out every detail. There was only one shot at this. By 11 a.m., Sedini was back at the LA Fitness Center, about a 15-minute drive from his home. He had been a regular member there for months, blending in among the hundreds of people who came and went each day. He looked like anyone else. This visit was different. He walked through the facility, timing the Latin Impact dance class that met on Tuesday evenings in the large aerobic studio. He observed the layout of the room, the positioning of the emergency exit, the lighting controls near the front, and the flow of bodies during the high-energy routine. He rehearsed his movements in mind, perhaps even pacing the space when it was empty between classes. He wanted everything to be perfect. No mistakes this time. He had chickened out once before, back in January, when the same class had been in session. Sedini left the class after his morning reconnaissance and returned home. He spent the afternoon alone, as he always did, in the small, sterile space he called home. He checked his black duffel bag one last time. Inside were four handguns he had legally purchased over the previous months. Two 9mm Glocks, 17 semi-automatic pistols, each loaded with 30-round magazines, a 45-caliber revolver, and a 32-caliber semi-automatic pistol. He had practiced with them at local ranges. He added several extra loaded magazines and a handwritten note, expressing his long simmering rage at women and the wife he felt he had rejected him. In his mind, this was the prelude to the final act of a man who had been invisible to the opposite sex for decades. George had spent the last few months drinking a bottle of vodka daily. His reality was starting to collapse in on itself. As evening approached, Sedini changed into his workout clothes, black pants, a black jacket, and a black headband to hold back his receding hair. He drove back to LA Fitness Center, arriving just before 8 p.m. The Latin Impact class was about to begin. About 22 to 30 women, ranging in age from their teens to their 50s, had gathered in the brightly lit studio. The instructor, a pregnant woman in her 30s, was leading the group through upbeat Latin dance moves set to loud rhythmic music. The room filled with energy and laughter. Sedini parked his car in the lot and, at approximately 7:45 p.m., made a brief cell phone call to his mother from outside the building. Police would later learn the call lasted only a minute or two. He sounded distraught, though the content of the conversation remains unknown to the public. He hung up, grabbed his duffel bag, and walked into the gym as if he were any other member arriving for an evening workout. He moved calmly through the main area, past the treadmills and weight machines, and straight towards the aerobic studio. No one paid him much attention. He was just another guy in workout gear. He stepped into the room at the back, near the door, and paused for a moment. The class was in full swing. Women were moving in sync, facing the mirrored front wall. Sodini walked to the front of the studio. He set the duffel bag down on the floor near a treadmill. Without a word, he reached up and flipped the light switch, plunging the entire room into near total darkness. The music continued to blare, but the sudden blackout caused a ripple of confusion and noise. In the dim glow from the emergency exit signs, in the faint light seeping under the door, Sodini reached into the bag. He pulled out the two loaded Glock 9mm pistols. He raised them and opened fire. The first shots rang out at around 8:15 p.m. The popping sounds echoed sharply off the walls as muzzle flashes lit up the darkness like strobe lights. Sodini did not yell or make demands. He simply began shooting methodically, walking slowly up and down the rows of women. He fired at close range, aiming low into the crowd as they dropped to the floor or scrambled for cover. Bullets tore through the air, shattering mirrors, punching into bodies, and ricocheting off equipment. Shell casings clattered across the wooden floor. Panic erupted instantly. Women screamed and dove for the emergency exit at the back of the room. Some crawled under the treadmills or behind exercise bikes. Others played dead, lying motionless in pools of blood as the gunfire continued. The instructor, hit multiple times, collapsed near the front. A 14-year-old girl named Jordan Solomon, who had been in class, later recalled turning around and seeing Sodini holding a gun after the lights went out. She dropped to the floor and stayed there. Sodini kept firing. He moved deliberately through the space, sweeping the pistols from left to right and back again, methodically. He fired 52 rounds in total from the two Glocks, never pausing to reload, even though extra magazines were in the bag. The barrage lasted less than 2 minutes, but it felt like an eternity to those trapped inside. Blood sprayed across the walls and floor, the air filled with the acrid smell of gunpowder and the sounds of moans and cries. When the Glocks were empty, Sodini stopped. The room fell into a stunned, chaotic silence, broken only by the continuing music and cries of the wounded. He reached back into the bag and pulled out a .45 caliber revolver. He placed the barrel against his head and he pulled the trigger. His body crumpled to the floor near the duffel bag, an unused .32 caliber pistol still in his pocket. Emergency calls flooded 911 within seconds, the first responder arriving to the scene of horror. Blood soaked the studio floor. 12 women had been shot. 3 were dead. Heidi Overmeer, 46, a mother. Elizabeth Gannon, 49, radiologist. And Jody Billingsley, 37, a sales representative. 9 others were wounded, some critically, including the pregnant instructor who would survive after emergency surgery. Her baby survived. Sodini lay dead amongst his victims, his final act complete.